So 4 years ago, 2021, as I was preparing for our Pentecost service, I decided that after many years of talking about parrots here, it was high time that I actually met one. So I made an appointment to visit the Feathered Sanctuary, which used to be nestled in a back area of that fish place on Centerville Road. They foster parrots and exotic birds and help them find new homes. I think they are still doing that. I'm just not sure exactly where they're located now. So if you could bring the first slide up there. So it was a fascinating experience. Parrot's eye contact is bold and unflinching. You can do the next one. Unlike me, I have a hard time managing to look fierce and unflinching. Next slide, they are much bigger than I realized. Those were not like short women particularly. Like, those are large birds. I mean, certainly there are birds in the parrot family that aren't that big, but I had no idea that they could be that big. And they might be decked out in colors that signal party time to us, but they are cautious creatures who don't bestow their trust or attention immediately. I remember them telling me that they are very particular about who they adopt their birds out to, because sometimes a parrot, for no discernible reason, like, will not interact with somebody. And so, sorry, you're not going to get the pretty parrot you like if the parrot isn't interested. And apparently, they don't often change their mind from their first impression. So, yeah. So I felt very lucky that the parrot in the previous slide was willing to sit on my arm. All the sources that I read caution that parrots should not be impulse buys. They live long lives, some of them almost as long as humans. So one really needs to have a plan of succession for who's going to take care of the bird if they outlive you. And this is something they seriously talk about. It's one of the reasons that exotic birds end up needing to be fostered, because they live such long lives. So I think about that every year when folks ask what the parrot is all about. Here at CMCL, because I think, am I doing enough sort of succession planning about the spirit here at CMCL? And this week, I had another interesting experience with a parrot, again in the week before Pentecost, although technically this one was a parakeet. You can go to the next slide. So I don't know if you recognize this spot, but if you sit in our courtyard between the office and the church building, there's a little table there, and I was sitting there with Christy Heatwell Kaufman, and that is the view of the roofline of the church office. So we were sitting there preparing the agenda for pastoral team, and I found myself saying, I just finished some major projects, and I feel some fresh energy and some mental space to think about new things. And she pointed up over our heads to the roofline and said, look, what's that? And it was a little hard to see. As you can see, I tried to do both slides to give you a sense of, like, it looked pretty small to us there. And it was a parakeet. And Christy said, how perfect. It's a parrot, or a symbol of spirit, when you're feeling full of spirit. And so it sat there for a little while looking down at us, and we realized that there was a good chance it was a lost pet, because it's not like parakeets are indigenous to Lancaster County. So Christy had the wisdom, because we got kind of distracted by, oh, it's the Holy Spirit landing here, you know, and so like, oh, wait a sec, maybe we should try to find this parrot its home, you know. So Christy had the wisdom to walk toward it and kind of speak to it like you might a pet to see how it responded. And so we sounded kind of silly. Come, little one, it's okay, you can come, you know, putting our hands out. And we sort of both cooed at it. And sure enough, it flew down and sat on the stairs. So you can go to the next one. And then the next one as well, I think, is a closer up. So it was very, very cute. And then one more. We unsuccessfully tried to contact any local place that could help us capture it safely. It was interesting. I called a vet, and they said, call the wild rescue, and the wild rescue said it's a domestic animal. And so anyhow, we put out a lot of messages, but we didn't. So we ended up, for better or for worse, going to Google to try to find what to do about a bird, which may or may not have been so helpful. But so we wondered, though, where did it come from? And where did it go? We don't know, because it did then fly off up over the building, sort of up over here toward Orange Street, and then we didn't see it again. I put out a bowl of water, and I looked on YouTube on my phone for parakeet calls, and I just sat it on the table beside me. Tried to work with parakeet chirps, and I don't know what the parakeets in those videos were saying. Maybe, you know, they were recorded saying, like, get as far away from here as you can, you know, so I don't know. It did attract some rather baffled-looking robins and sparrows, but I didn't see the parakeet again that afternoon, so I don't know. You can turn the picture off there. But. So it was a surprising and wonderful encounter to meet a parrot, or, you know, parrot family, at Community Mennonite, and to have our mascot literally appear out of thin air and fly down to sit near us. But then again, it clearly didn't want to stay, or at least it certainly wasn't impressed by our attempts to make it stay. It was easy to read into it, sort of the metaphor of it, but clearly not easy to figure out what it was saying. Maybe that's what happens when you meet a metaphor. But on Easter Sunday this year, we talked about the inevitability and importance of metaphor in understanding God. Or, okay, I talked about it, and hopefully it made some sense to you, but I recently came across an excerpt from a stand-up routine by a comedian named Pete Holmes, and I will say there's a little bit of a danger with, like, I've seen some reels that he's done, so I actually, maybe I'm quoting somebody really inappropriate, I hope not, but some of his very short excerpts are very interesting. In fact, not what I would expect from comedy necessarily, but he said this, my God, or God for me, is not an old man in the sky. That's a metaphor for an absolute mystery that transcends all categories of human thought, including being and non-being. But that's too many words for the back of a quarter. And that's Joseph Campbell, he said. And he went on, I got all the best teachers later in life. Barry Taylor, manager for AC/DC, said, God is the name of the blanket we put over the mystery to give it a shape. Shouldn't I have learned that in church, he said. Why am I learning this from Barry Taylor? And I had a similar thought. Why am I hearing it put this way for the first time from the manager of AC/DC via a stand-up comic on Instagram Reels? And it's not so much that the idea is new, but it felt like a fresh or clear way to visualize that or say it, perhaps. And I think the Bible is full of stories of things that have happened that seem to reveal the shape of God's presence to the people witnessing it. And usually that was so hope-inspiring to the folks in those stories and to the readers over the millennia since then, that we continue to reach back to those stories to learn about the mystery we understand as God. And there are mixed experiences when humans get fixated on the blankets thrown over the mystery at any given time. We're quick to worship those blankets. The God described to us by our ancestors of faith in the Bible seems to prefer that we hold on to the stories and memories of those encounters and the epiphanies in which God was recognized. Maybe put up some stones to remember that place so that passersby can see that and know that someone saw God there as a reminder that God is present, that God is meetable, that you too may come across God, you too may experience that mystery of love. But the stories have so many cautions about focusing on the form in which God was encountered. Our ancestors wrote on many occasions across millennia in our scripture, encouraging those of us who would follow to be open to seeing God where we might not expect. but to listen when we heard a voice of some kind or discerned something out of the ordinary in nature that felt like it was addressing us. In a way, the fleetingness of Jesus' earthly foray seems to point to this. Here's a way to understand God. But if it sticks around forever, humans will find a way to pin it down in the name of preservation. So God said, I showed you myself in the form of a human, in Jesus, but now you'll know me in the form of spirit. I found myself thinking, thanks, Obama, after that. Kind of thanks God, but in that tone. You'll know me in the form of spirit. When spirit is often manifested as wind in our scriptures. And you know what wind looks like? Take a look at the bulletin cover. This was my attempt to capture what wind looks like. Because this is a portrait of wind that is a masterpiece of realism. Because the only way to see wind, which is air in motion, is to see the objects that it's interacting with, to see or to feel it on your face. To study it, we send balloons up into it, or watch, you know, how many millennia have humans looked at which way the leaves are turned to figure out if there's a storm coming, or lick your finger and hold it up to find where the wind is moving. It's another mystery that requires a blanket to be thrown on it, or a bird to glide down on it, say a dove or a parrot, or a flame to flicker and dance in it to show the movement. The word spirit is grammatically feminine in Hebrew, it's grammatically masculine in Koine Greek, and grammatically neutral in Latin, the languages through which our scripture has been handed down to us. As we read today, Sophia wisdom was described as a feminine voice, feminine personification. And in the passage from John, spirit is called companion and referred to with a masculine pronoun. Again, I wonder, more blankets on the mystery, perhaps. So a little detail that I didn't add at first about our encounter with parakeet slash parrot slash lost pet in the courtyard this week. And honestly, I didn't mention it. I left this in as I wrote it. I could have gone back and added it, but I thought it was kind of interesting that it was here in the writing of this that I remembered that the parakeet flew away when we tried to gently put a towel over it, as the internet, our modern cloud of witnesses, suggested we do. So throwing a blanket over it doesn't capture a mystery. At least it didn't for us, and maybe it underlines that throwing a blanket over something isn't a forever way, even if you're trying to be gentle, and even if what you really want is its safety and to be able to interact with it. But I'm guessing that space and time are rife with moments in which the great mystery's shape is only fleetingly revealed. And maybe God is even dressing God's self up, if you think about that idea of blankets and draping it over forms, as we imago Dei homo sapiens do. And maybe it's one of the reasons that dressing true to ourselves is so important, because we know that most of the humans we encounter, those encounters are brief, and we learn or think we learn so much about one another by the guesses we make based on the cloth draped over our frames at any time, even though our mysteries, our selves are much more of a mystery than anything draped over us could reveal. But it is a way of trying to express who we are to others and being able to do that truly. So it's kind of interesting of thinking what God's choices may be sometimes in what is draped over and helping us see. So spirit, mystery, God, love, make yourself known to us in whatever guise. Give us eyes to see you, and may your spirit's presence with us be companion, be the miracle of connection we long to make between one another across so many differences and languages, as on Pentecost. In this day and age, as much as any, we pray for that Pentecostal miracle, to be able to speak and be understood across the differences that separate us from one another, from ourselves, from the mystery from which we all came, in whom we are all held, and to whom we shall return. Amen.